Radio Brisbane, this is Craig Zonka.
You might have heard the story of original curbstones being found as part of the Queen's Wharf redevelopment. They were found by road tech crews, state government road tech crews, and thought to date back to about the 1830s. But it seems there is much more being discovered as well. And I'm playing a little bit of Indiana Jones because you can't help but get into that feeling of what lies beneath, what secrets of our past are being discovered. Holly McLean is the resident archaeologist with the Queen's Wharf project. She's from the consultancy firm Urbis. Holly, good morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Very well. This sounds like you have one of the best jobs in the city. Is that fair to say?
Yep, definitely. Without a doubt. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yep. So how does the process work? You're the archaeologist. Does that mean you get first pass at everything before any construction crews, demolishing crews get to do their work?
Yeah, well, that's the idea of it. So it sort of depends on what's happening with the project at the time. So currently we've been working with the crews who are doing services diversions. So we have been a bit limited in what we've been doing archaeologically. So basically what we're doing at the moment is what's called archaeological monitoring. So as the crews are working on either upgrading or installing new services like gas mains, electrical services and water, we're basically there working with the construction team. We stand beside, they dig it all up. And so our job at the moment is just to watch what's going on there, make sure nothing significant is below ground that could get impacted on, check the spoil heap to make sure there's no artifacts there that we might want to keep, and really just be there as an on-site presence to be able to manage anything that does come up.
Because Brisbane really grew out from that Queen's Wharf site, yep. Didn't it?
Absolutely. So in terms of non-Aboriginal history, this is where the Moreton Bay Penal Settlement was established in 1824. So when that closed in around 1842, it was open for free settlement. And, yeah, so this is pretty much the spot where it all began. So the commissariat store dates from 1828, and that's one of only two extant convict period buildings in Brisbane. So that in itself has this phenomenal history. And, yeah, I guess things started around the Queen's Wharf area, and then as part of the penal settlement, we had a whole bunch of buildings along the William Street alignment. And the genesis of the current city streetscape has really evolved from that original arrangement of streets way back to the 1820s.
Holly McLean is with you on ABC Radio Brisbane, and it's almost like show and tell on the radio today,
yes.
Which I'm excited about. So what have we got here? There's a few different bottles of shape, sizes, yes, and description. How do you know that this bottle is really important and not just a bit of rubbish, Holly? That's my biggest question.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, you know, you can usually tell with these kind of old bottles by the colour and the type of glass, the thickness of the glass. So one of the things that we do is look at a whole lot of what we call diagnostic features to determine how old a particular bottle is. So not only the colour and the size of it, but like the seal around the top here. So there's particular types of seals and finishes on bottles that you can easily date to certain time periods. So this one here is a crown seal. So this one's actually 1900s to 1930s.
Okay. And it's still, that bottle is intact.
Yes, it's fantastic when you find the intact ones. I've got another one over here, so it's unfortunately broken, but this is a salad or vinegar bottle. So it's what we call a half, it's known as a half whirly pattern. It's got this really nice decoration around here. The design of these ones was particularly to be attractive so that you could put your condiments directly on the table when you had guests over. So that was the idea of these ones. And we know that these ones date to around the 1880s. So this was a very popular style back then. This one here is called a Lamont bottle. So you can't quite see it because this one is actually broken.
The neck of the bottle's been broken off.
But you can see by the particular shape of it here and the size of the shoulders of the bottle.
Quite slim shoulders.
It is, yeah. It's actually quite a skinny bottle. So they were patented, I think, in England in around the 1870s and became very popular in Australia around the 1880s to 1890s. And this one's actually got Owen Gardner on the side here.
Yeah.
So this is another fantastic way that we can identify, obviously, where bottles are from and what year they were made. And we know that Owen Gardner actually had a premises in William Street, and they made aerated waters and, you know, soda, things like that. And they were there from 1850s. So, so that's, it's absolutely fantastic when you find something that has a name on it like that.
And do you urge on the side of caution? You find something and go, I'll keep that, and then go
absolutely
back and do the research. And, you know, if it's something of significance, we'll keep it. If not, well, then it goes into my rubbish pile.
If only. No, we do keep everything that we keep on site, that we find on site. And then, yeah, as we go through the process, we sort of will go through which ones are, I suppose, the rarest, which ones are the most intact, which ones are of particular historical value. And then we'll do a process whereby we'll have a look and see who might be interested in these, because they will be property of the state. But, you know, so that the public can access them, we also will make recommendations about possibly sending them to the museum. Or the Royal Historical Society has expressed a lot of interest, so we are talking with them about maybe being able to put in a little display of the finds. It really goes through, once we've found everything, we'll clean them all up and go through a process of what's of particular value, what's of lesser value, and where the things should go so that people can see them.
You said you'll clean them up because they do still have the dirt on the outside.
Yes, they
right
do.
Now.
Sorry, I haven't cleaned them up for today.
But that gives that look of authenticity as well, can I say?
Oh, good. Thank you.
And you've got a plastic bag there. What's in the plastic bag?
A horseshoe.
A horseshoe?
So, yeah, most of the finds we've had on site so far are small finds.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much we've been working just in a trenching environment. We haven't really done any broad excavations. I haven't had any structural remains come up yet.
And I guess that will happen once the buildings that we see across the river, as they come down, that's
definitely
when the big excavation will start.
Yep, so that'll be the most likely time we'll find it. But this is probably the most unique item we've found so far. So this is a horseshoe, obviously.
Yeah.
And we found it during some excavations at the back of the DPI building. So the former DPI building was actually built as Brisbane's first immigration depot in the 1860s. And we know that sometime in the late 1800s there were stables on site. So unfortunately the context from which this object has come was quite disturbed. So that means it wasn't, you know, we can't actually tell it was directly in the soil, because I think it was found next to, you know, a modern Coke can or something like that. But so it's not exactly original, but it's heavily eroded. And I guess we can make sort of those inferences that it could be associated with the stables that were on site. And it's the only one we've found so far, which makes it, it's pretty interesting.
I'm just intrigued by this. So Holly's working with the Queen's Wharf Project. She's an archaeologist and looking out for artefacts that tell a bit of the story of Brisbane's past. Edison tubes.
Yes.
What are they and why are they so important?
Yeah, so the Edison street tubes, they're a type of electrical mains. So I guess from the start, named after Thomas Edison, who designed this particular item.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the Queensland Museum has a few. You can see some samples on their online collection. It's copper wire, which is encased in this tarry-like substance. I think it's got linseed oil, paraffin, beeswax, things like that, and then encased further in iron. And the government printing offices, for people that don't know, the original printing office is the really nice brick building on William Street with that Gothic architectural sort of arched stylistic features. That received power in 1886, so they wanted electrical lighting. So to get electrical lighting, they put a generator attached to a steam engine out the back. The steam engine was used to drive the printing machinery.
Yeah.
And that's how they got their electricity for their lights. And, of course, when Parliament House was built, so I think that was started in the 1860s and finished by about 1889. Of course, you know, being Parliament House, you want to have the most up-to-date technology. So
they wanted power?
Wanted power, so we wanted electricity there. So they used these Edison tubes to direct power from the printing office along William Street and provide power for the electricity in Parliament House. And that was, I think, by 1892. And the thing that's really significant about these is that I think maybe only when they were installed, maybe only 1 year prior, New York and London had received these, but nowhere else in the world. And so from what we understand, they're actually the first instance of this particular lighting in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's a pretty significant story for Brisbane. It's, yeah, very exciting to think that they're still there, and we're going to be hopefully doing a targeted excavation with Destination Brisbane Consortium in the next however many months to target these things, make sure that they're found, not damaged, and then we can look at, you know, where they can go in future to be preserved. We've actually had interest from museums internationally, like New York and London, who have heard about these tubes and are really keen to get a hold of some. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's become this really huge, fascinating aspect that we didn't really think about, or we didn't really know about until we started doing some of this research and work here.
And that's the beauty of the job. You never know what you're going to discover from one day to the next of what lies beneath where the Queen's Wharf redevelopment is happening. Holly, it's been great to chat. And let's, you know, chat in the future as well as more finds are discovered along the way.
Love to.
Holly McLean, who is an archaeologist working with the Queen's Wharf project. She's from the consultancy firm Urbis, has also worked on 1 William Street previously. And we'll be involved with the Howard Smith Wharves project as well. So, a bit of Brisbane's history being unearthed during the redevelopment.